Good evening. It's good to see everybody tonight. Glad you're all able to come out. Okay, for our lesson tonight, what comes to your mind when you hear the word temptation? Do you think about the food that, you know, lots of times we go on a diet or we eat things we shouldn't? We think about, you know, maybe I shouldn't eat that, or do we think about food or fantasies? Do we fantasize about things we don't have? Does that tempt us to spend time fantasizing about things? It could be about sex or alcohol or drugs, or maybe using bad language, looking at pictures we shouldn't, watching movies that's not good. Whatever comes to mind that tempts us. But when you hear the word temptation, do you actually think about what tempts you to sin? Or you think about all these other things and what might tempt other people? I think sometimes that we don't always look at what tempts us. We hear things all the time and think these are temptations. But did you really think about what tempts you to sin? We all have our weaknesses. We all have our temptations. And Satan knows what they are. And he will use them to tempt us. Satan has a reason to keep us in bondage. It will keep us fulfilling our Christian duty. We won't have the potential we need for the kingdom of God. If we're busy being tempted and committing sin, we lots of times we'll feel like hypocrites, and we don't want to talk to other people because we feel, well, we're just not so good ourselves. It can really affect us with spreading the gospel. If we don't deal with temptation, it can lead to having a hard heart. After a while, if you're tempted and give in to sin long enough, you know, your heart can get hardened. It no longer has the effect on you that it once did. It just kind of becomes a habit, and you just kind of give up on trying, and so you don't really deal with it. You just let it go. And if we let it harden our hearts and we no longer deal with it, God will eventually just turn us over to our sin. We read that over and over in the Old Testament. The Israelites, they had sinned over and over by disobeying God. What happened to them eventually? God turned them over to sin. He kind of gave up on them. They were taken into captivity more than one time. They were punished over and over for their sin. And our spirit will die as far as trying to serve God. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And I hope you look these up with me. I'm a little bit slow on looking them up, so maybe you'll be able to look them up with me. First Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not extinguish the Spirit. If we let sin ruin our lives, why, our spirit is going to die and it's going to be extinguished. One sin leads to another. Do you ever notice, like, you start getting caught in sin or doing things you shouldn't? It becomes a habit, and then before you know it, why, we're doing something else. Especially if you're telling a lie, you know, a lie can turn into another sin pretty easily because you have to maybe do something else or tell another lie to cover up for the first one. And it's also with so many things. What will happen with sin, it'll eventually bring forth death. Now, that can be spiritually, but it also sometimes will be physically. There are sins that can bring forth physical death. We can think of some, for instance, using drugs and so forth, but there's other things that we can do that doesn't have to be like that that can bring forth death. But sin will definitely destroy us spiritually. If we don't deal with our sin, if we let it ruin our lives, we're in danger of dying spiritually. What about excuses? Do you make any excuses for the sins you commit? You know, we can come up with all kinds of excuses, reasons for giving in to temptation. How about we just say, well, no one's perfect, you know. I can't be perfect. No one's perfect. So it's okay if I commit a few sins. You know, I'm just human, you know. I'm not going to be able to handle it or stop sinning. That's just kind of who I am. Well, you know, there's some truth to that. God is perfect. So we are not going to be perfect, and we know it. But that doesn't mean we should just give up on trying not to commit sin. God has given us the ability to choose right or wrong. We don't want to forget that. Even though sometimes it might be part of our life or part of our personality, God did give us the ability to choose the right thing. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So God has provided a way out of temptation. When we're tempted to sin, we commit sin, he's given us the freedom of choice. He also has given us a way out. Can you think of any sin that you may have been taken with or committed that you didn't really have a choice or had a way out of it? I can't think of anything that I have done that I didn't have a way out. It doesn't mean I chose the way out. That's where your freedom of choice comes in. Lots of times we do not choose the right thing. We have to remember that God is also working our lives. He's with us when we have victories over sin, and sometimes when we have defeats in sin, God does not turn his back on us. He's still with us. We have a reason for a lot of the temptations that we meet in life. Let's turn over to James chapter 1 and look at verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay, we have a reason sometimes that we are tempted. Temptations helps us to build patience, helps us to have endurance. Also helps us to be sensitive to others' needs. Are you more sensitive to someone that maybe has the same problem you do or tempted by the same things you are? I think as Christians, lots of times we're afraid to tell each other about the temptations we have or maybe the sins we commit. We don't want our brethren to think worse of us or poorly of us, so we try to keep them all to ourselves and hope nobody will know. By doing that, we're not so much able to help each other through some of the temptations and trials we have. But if we're able to share those things, it can actually help us. It seems like sometimes it takes a pretty good friend before you could actually tell them about the problem or temptation you had. It'd be kind of hard just to walk up to someone you only maybe meet in here once a week and start talking about your personal life or what the problems you have. But if we develop friendships with our brethren, we're able to share some of those things with them, and they can help us deal with some of the problems. Also, it helps us to be somewhat sensitive to those outside the church. When you're trying to reach someone outside the kingdom, if you're sensitive to some of their problems and sins, and you've dealt with them, then sometimes it helps you to be able to reach them better. If we were not tempted by these things, we would not be able to do those things. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, and look at something from Paul. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And this is Paul talking. And lest I should be exalted above measure, my abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Do we ever look at it that way? Do we ever look at some of the problems and temptations that we have might be God being more able to show his power through us than if he made everything perfect in our life and everything went along real well? Having temptations and even giving in to sin sometimes will help us to grow. We can't grow as Christians if we're never tempted. It would just be easy just to kind of sail along, and we wouldn't have the growth we need. Sometimes we feel like giving up or trying or quitting, or we just say, well, I can't resist the temptation anymore. I'm just going to give up and quit trying. But we have to remember that God is going to be with us. Every temptation we encounter is Satan's way of striking out at God. We have to remember that. If we turn against God, Satan wins and we lose. There was a bumper sticker one time that said, lead me not in temptation, I can find it myself. Well, that's probably true. I don't think we have to look too far to find the temptations to ourselves. We don't have to wait for somebody to tempt us. It's pretty easy to do on our own. We don't always like to take complete responsibility for the temptations that we have. It's pretty easy to blame them on someone else. I think we've all been guilty of that. I know I have, you know. You can claim, well, that's just in my personality. That's the type of person I am. I just can't help myself. You know, I've been this way all my life, and I can't really change. And for some things, it's like that. How about a person's temper? You know, sometimes there's some people that have worse temper than other people. It takes less to make them mad. But, you know, if we just say, well, I've always had a problem with temper, so, you know, it's just going to be that way because that's in my personality, you know, we can work on that and change some of those type of things. In other places we might blame, how about if we blame it on the TV? You know, I don't watch a lot of TV anymore, but there's a lot of bad stuff on TV. And a lot of stuff probably as Christians we shouldn't even look at. We can say, well, you know, it's the TV causes it. I watch TV and I get bad thoughts in my head and it leads me into temptation. A lot of us are retired in here, but some of us are still working. How about if we blame it on our work? You know, the boss expects certain things at work and, you know, maybe he kind of wants me to bend the rules or lie a little bit. And, you know, I got to keep my job, so I'll just do that anyhow. And I can blame what I do on that. Or how about the people at work? You know, I work around some people that you really use some bad language, tell some bad stories. You know, I get drawn into that. It's kind of their fault. Also, how about our home life? I've heard people say, well, you know, if you know the home I grew up in, you'd understand why I'm like I am. Okay, we can blame maybe our home life we had in the past, but when we say that, we're saying I don't have the ability to change anything because of the home life I had. We hear that used lots of times for different things. I've heard people use that, you know. I had a real bad home life, so that gives me excuse for maybe breaking the law or having some bad habits, doing the things I shouldn't. It's pretty easy to blame our home life. We could always blame our spouse, you know. Well, they're just not like I want them to be, so it's their fault because I can't live a Christian life. Their fault that I commit sin, give in to temptation. It's just You know, maybe if I'd have married somebody else, I wouldn't have been tempted as much to commit a sin. But really, what it comes down to is that we just don't want to own up to the fact that the temptations that we meet, it's our responsibility not to give in to temptations and commit sin. And there's no other excuse, and you can't really blame anybody else. When Eve was tempted, did Satan hold her down and make her eat the fruit? Nope. Now, he deceived her, and he tempted her, but he did not force her. That's another thing. God has given us certain physical desires, and we're born with those things, and sometimes we say, well, you know, I have those desires, and I just can't help myself, so I'll just give in to temptation to do the things I shouldn't. Let's turn over to James chapter 1 and read verses 13 and 15 through 15. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So we do have the ability to choose right or wrong. We do not have to give in to the temptations that we meet. We will be held accountable for our sin and our temptation in our life. I think sometimes we don't always think of it so much, because we always think, well, that's down the road a ways, and you know, I can repent of it, and so it's not really that serious if I go ahead and do this now. I know God wouldn't like it, but I'll go ahead and just let it go for now and not really try so hard. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verses 9 and 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we are going to stand in judgment for the things we do. We do have the blood of Christ to help cover our sins, but we can't just blatantly sin and live our lives as we want, thinking the blood of Christ is just going to cover it if we're not trying to do what's right. I think sometimes we can fall into that as Christians. You know, we think, well, that's not really so bad. I got the blood of Christ. I'll just ask for forgiveness, and I don't really have to try that hard or work that much at it. If we want to gain our sense of importance or self-worth, if we look at God, God is going to be what we should look at as our self-worth. If we look at other people or compare ourselves to other people, we're going to have a lot of problems. We got to keep our eyes on God. You got to remember, Satan is always in the business of deceit. Satan is determined to deceive us. We have to use discretion on what we do. We have to use discretion on being around other people. We have to use discretion on what we choose to make us happy and secure. If we're going to place all of our happiness and security, say, in money or prestige or what other people think of us, we're going to seek those things that would cause us to go after those things. And sometimes those type of things can lead us in temptation, because if we want those bad enough, lots of times we're willing to commit sin, we're willing to give in and compromise our ideals to follow after those things or have those things. So we got to remember to keep our eyes on God and let him be the one that we want to have self-worth with. Let's turn over to 1 John 2:15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. If we're going to have all of our hopes in this world, we're going to have what we consider important in this world and not keep our eyes on God, then one of these avenues is going to be what tempts us. We're tempted by these three things. If you look at it, all temptations, all sins we meet will fall into one of these categories. And if we don't have our mind in the right place, if we don't have our goals in the right place, we're going to give in to these temptations. First Corinthians 12:13 tells us that God will help us with temptation. He has set a limit on temptation. You know, we think, well, I just can't help myself. But you got to remember, God has set a limit on how much you can be tempted. God has power over Satan, and I think sometimes we may not remember that. We know that Satan is alive and well, that he's seeking to deceive us. He's seeking to tempt us. He's trying to get us to turn against God. But Satan only has the power God gave him. Remember, Satan was actually defeated when Jesus went to the cross. So Satan only has the power that God will give him. And so he has not enough power to force us to do anything. He's allowed to put temptations before us. But God is there to watch over us and protect us. God is there to help us. And he always makes a way of escape. We might not look for that way of escape. Lots of times we don't. We just go ahead and commit the sin and think afterwards, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that, or I wish I hadn't done it. I'll ask God to forgive me. But oftentimes we don't look for the way of escape. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 3, where our scripture reading came for this from this evening. We'll go ahead and read what happened to Adam and Eve here. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is amidst the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this thing, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Okay, if you look at what happened here with Adam and Eve, God asked Adam, who told you you were naked? He didn't say, I took it myself. He blamed it on the woman. You know, if you hadn't given me that woman, she's the one that caused me to take that fruit and eat it. If you hadn't have given her to me, I probably wouldn't have ate it. It's probably more or less what he's saying. And the woman, God said, well, what did you do? And she said, well, the serpent deceived me. You know, he lied to me. He tricked me. He talked me into it. So she blamed the serpent. It was the serpent's fault. Neither one of them really took responsibility that it might have been their own fault. And God doesn't deny that the serpent or the devil had a place in this. He didn't deny it at all. In fact, he cursed the serpent and put a curse on him. But also, you got to remember that Adam and Eve still suffered for giving in to the sin. They were both held accountable, even though they blamed it on someone else or something else. God still held them accountable, and they had to leave the garden. So just remember that when we commit sin, it is our own responsibility. When we are tempted and give in to sin, each one of us is responsible ourselves for that temptation and that sin. At this time, what will you do about sin in your life? If you're a Christian, you can pray to God for forgiveness of that sin. You can pray for help overcoming the sins and temptations that you meet day by day. We have that avenue. If you're not a Christian, in order to overcome the sin in your life, you have to come in contact with the blood of Christ, because that blood is the only thing that is going to remove the sin in our lives. In order to come in contact with that blood, it requires baptism. That's where we meet the blood. And then when we become a Christian, the blood of Christ will cleanse us from that sin. If there's anyone that is subject to the invitation or needs help, if they will come during the invitation song, we'll be glad to talk to them and help them as we can.